Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. A Netflix original documentary. In a large hall, red banners hang. An English word among the Chinese characters. Scholarism. Words appear. Hong Kong. Outside government headquarters. September 26, 2014. Police stand at a barricade. Inside, a sign in English. We are the future. Subtitles.
Greetings, my fellow citizens. I am Joshua Wong, founder of Scholarism. The warning light of Hong Kong's political system is flashing red.
And 9:30, Joshua make his speech and we are getting ready for Joshua lead us. I feel so sick, you know, when you can't breathe because you're too nervous.
A crowd of 1,500 is more than I expected here today. I want to know, where are the adults?
There was really a lot of students that day gathering together to fight against Chinese government.
No matter what the price, we can't dump this on the next generation. This generation must complete our mission. Now let's go take Civic Square together.
Young people push a gate aside and run down a driveway.
There's a moment that you thought, wow, we are gonna make some massive change.
They climb a metal fence, cameras and phones record.
And we are gonna make history.
The police carry a protester away. Words appear. Joshua, teenager versus superpower. A headline from the Sydney Morning Herald. Meet Joshua Wong, the teenager taking on communist China. Credits appear. Executive producer, Jason Spingern-Koff, Adam Del Dio, Lisa Nishimura. Wearing gas masks, police pass out plastic riot shields. Al Jazeera headline, the teenager who defied China. Executive producer, Alex Sachs. One of the policemen wears a tank on his back and holds a nozzle. Headline, Sydney Morning Herald, Joshua Wong, the teenager who shook Hong Kong's future. Joshua has straight dark hair and wears narrow dark frame glasses. Produced by Andrew Duncan, Joe Piscatella. Time magazine cover, The Face of Protest, with a photo of Joshua. More credits, produced by Matthew Torn, Mark Reinhardt. A gas from a canister fills the air. The image jiggles. NBC News. Can 17-year-old democracy protester Joshua Wong defeat Beijing? Edited by Matthew Sultan. Men wearing masks carry a protester on a stretcher. CNN. Echoing Tiananmen, 17-year-old Hong Kong student prepares for democracy battle. Written and directed by Joe Piscatella. The police throw a canister. A camera shakes. Cut to black. Daytime. The high-rise buildings of Hong Kong. Boats sail the smooth water. Words appear. Hong Kong, 2012. In an apartment, a photo of a couple with two children sit on a shelf. Joshua sits on a couch and uses a 10 keypad connected to his laptop. Joshua, age 14. In the kitchen, a woman stirs a round-bottom pot on a gas stove. She hands Joshua a plastic pitcher. At the table, Joshua eats with chopsticks. A spoon rests in his bowl. Subtitles. Grace.
Have you been to Mr. Hsu's class? Mm-mm. Can I see your paper? No, he hasn't given the paper back yet. Oh, he hasn't graded it yet?
In class.
Before I involve in politics, I'm just a normal student, a normal kid. I went to school, put effort in my study, but those days are now gone.
Joshua pulls a cart up a street.
Instead of just focusing on GPA, why don't try to care about the city that we live and the city that we love?
On a street, Joshua with a megaphone.
Hello, Hong Kong. We are Scholarism, a student organization. Please take 2 seconds and sign your name to demand the government withdraw national education, defend freedom of thought, oppose brainwashing education.
Joshua looks at the passing people. Jason Ng, contributor, South China Morning Post.
Being a young activist in Hong Kong, you are bound to upset your parents. because most parents just want the kids to, you know, stay in school and do their homework, and every time the topic of politics comes up, they would just say, oh, you know, that has nothing to do with you. And so parents would definitely get very anxious when the kids start showing up in street protests.
Joshua hands out flyers.
The mainstream and the teachers just teach us, if you become an accountant, a doctor, or even you become the management trainee of the investment bank, you gain your successful life and future. However, instead of asking the society to define what is success, I would just ask why I can't define what is valuable for myself and what is important for the society. It's the time for us to show our disagreement against interference from the Communist Party of China.
Clay Shirky.
It's the Joan of Arc story, right? The youngster who can see the world clearly and is not as jaded as adults comes into a complicated adult conflict and clarifies things. Wong fits that template. He is taking on literally the largest country in the world.
NYU New Media Studies.
But to understand Joshua Wong, you have to go back to the handover in 1997.
AP News.
A grey dawn for the last day of Britain's last significant colony.
The handover of Hong Kong.
And a wet welcome for the man who'd come to take control.
1997.
After what China regards as more than 150 years of humiliation, President Jiang Zemin had good reason to smile.
In 1997, Hong Kong was handed back to the Chinese by the British. Hong Kong has been a British colony for 150 years, and therefore it's really not China. So here you have a pretty much Western-bred population being handed back to the communists, right? So you can imagine the fear, the discomfort.
Behind the public optimism, there remains concern about China's human rights record, concern heightened by Beijing's eagerness to deploy troops in Hong Kong.
Everybody with any means were leaving Hong Kong. And so that's why Beijing came up with this idea of one country, two systems. There's one China, but in Hong Kong, because you're so used to your way of living, we'll keep your way of life.
Meaning that Hong Kong will continue with our capitalist system.
Martin Lee.
And keeping all our freedoms and everything we were then enjoying under British rule for 50 years, no change.
Words appear. China promised Hong Kong freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, and the right to elect their own leader in the near future. Jeffrey Wasserstrom.
So for a while, it was surprising how little things changed. But below the surface, you can see Beijing inserting more and more control in subtle ways over Hong Kong.
In 2012, the government announces plans for national education. Students fear it is the next step in communist China taking over Hong Kong. Students in white shirts descend stairs. Stephen Tsang.
The Chinese government wanted to introduce national education in Hong Kong because they were seeing the younger generations in Hong Kong thinking and behaving in ways that are unpatriotic. That new curriculum focused on promoting nationalism. First and foremost, you must support the country. And the country is the Communist Party.
In a mall,
the younger people in Hong Kong, seeing that new curriculum being put forward, reacted to it.
Our founder, Scorri Sam Wow, I'm 14 years old. What we hope to do is just demand for freedom of mind and freedom of speech, to show our disagreement to brainwashing education.
Joshua takes a photo of banners.
This wasn't a question about what a bunch of 14 to 18-year-olds would get in the classroom. This was a trial run for what it would be like for Hong Kong to have its identity leached away in the direction of being absorbed into China.
When I found Scorrism, I knew it's important to recruit members.
In a classroom, Joshua makes a presentation.
I met Derek because actually we knew each other from the Christian Fellowship and our high school.
Derek Lam.
He just invited me, oh, we'd like to join Scorrism and join the fight against the national education. China is a rising darkness that destroy the things in Hong Kong. But if you want to defeat the Dark Vader, then we have to train some Jedi.
Students paint a poster.
This new generation of young people in Hong Kong are different from their parents' and their grandparents' generation. They came of age with Hong Kong as part of China, and their understanding that they are very different from their compatriots coming from the north of the border. They develop a clear, strong sense of identity as Hong Kongers.
We are totally not Chinese people. We are unique. Hong Kong people is Hong Kong people. Bruce Lee is Hong Kong people.
Hong Kong is the place that I born, I live, and the place that I love.
And the future of Hong Kong should be decided by Hong Kongers instead of the Chinese government.
Cars travel one way on a Hong Kong street. Al Jazeera News.
Taking the oath of office, Hong Kong's new leader, Leung Chun-ying, receiving the highest endorsement possible from President Hu Jintao.
Hong Kong inauguration. New chief executive sworn into office. The two men shake hands. Words appear. In March 2012, CY Leung is elected as Hong Kong's next chief executive. He plans to implement national education when school starts in September.
The chief executive is supposed to be elected by Hong Kong people. But we don't have that yet. Beijing has actually chosen each of the three chief executives we have. He owes allegiance to Beijing, not the people of Hong Kong. And he knows that if he wants a second term, then he must continue to be in Beijing's good books.
A ferry boat plies Hong Kong's harbor.
The first time for me to meet CY Leung is in March of 2012 because he organized a Facebook event, and if your post under that Facebook event can get the highest number of likes, you can get a chance to meet with CY Leung. I just shared to my Facebook and shared to Scorism Facebook page. And finally, I get around 3,000 likes and I can meet CY Leung and ask him why you still need to implement the national education.
Hello,
C.Y. Leung greets a photographer.
Hello, C.Y. Leung. I'm Joshua Wong, and a sophomore. Maybe you find it odd that students show up at an event like this. And we have exams, too. Actually, I have one tomorrow. We are from Scholarism, the Alliance Against National Education.
What's the name?
Scholarism.
Scholarism?
CY Leung just responded, oh, what is scholarism? I haven't heard this name before. And he's pretend that scholarism is not a matter for him.
What do you have in mind? We demand the government withdraw national education and the brainwashing curriculum. What are your reasons? It says you'll get good grades if your answers match the government's view. If you cry when the Chinese flag is raised, you'll get a better grade. Does it really say that? Yes.
CY Leung was not interested to what I say about national education. He just thinks I'm a troublemaker.
Joshua stands on an overpass and stares down at evening traffic. Daytime, Joshua and Derek hang a yellow banner on a street corner. Joshua.
Why is it sagging?
Joshua picks up the microphone. A megaphone sits by the cart.
Testing. One, two. Hello, citizens of Hong Kong. We are Scholarism, the group against national education.
When Scholarism first came on the scene, I think there was a little bit of where did these people come from? And how could you imagine that this kind of group could succeed? Seemed like a real David and Goliath kind of struggle.
We have to spend a lot of time campaigning in different neighborhoods. Every day we have to hand out flyers. I didn't realize it would be so hard.
Please take a look at our leaflet.
It's very unusual for a student to distribute the leaflet on the street. We're just trying to push forward to gain more people's support. But the problem is, we still can't grab the general public awareness.
Change doesn't happen overnight, so I mean, it's naive or unrealistic to expect China all of a sudden will, you know, throw its hand up and say, you know, fine, go ahead, push back national education. It doesn't work like that.
Joshua and his team shake out the banner and fold a table. Joshua carries a large red tote bag. Daytime, the high-rise buildings and waterfront of Hong Kong, downtown streets. Street names are painted on the road. A church is encased by scaffolding. Inside, a woman addresses the congregation, Joshua among them.
I remember that I visited a poor family when I'm 13 years old. While I visit them, I will preach the gospel and also pray for them because I'm a Christian. And 1 year later, I back to that family and visit them again.
During that moment, I just realized that just trying to pray for them would not bring the change. It's necessary for us to change by action.
He slings his messenger bag over his shoulder and walks off. Outside, he marches with others.
Only independent thinking is the truth.
Words appear May 13, 2012. Joshua.
It's been a long day for everyone. We'd like to thank everyone for participating in Scholarism's rally.
A reporter.
What are you demanding from the government? We demand the government withdraw national education. We can't have communist China dictating what is taught in Hong Kong schools. Will you act more radically in the future to stop them? That depends on the government's response. If the government insists on implementing national education, Scholarism will have to consider our next steps.
The interview is on YouTube. The view counter advances rapidly to over 150,000. Nathan.
A lot of people was talking about that video, and I'm very impressed because he was 14 when that video took place, and he was like calm and relaxed, like he's doing this for like 20 years. It's something that people admire.
Yeah, the video really makes us very popular, and over 100 students applied and say, oh, we want to join you and we want to join the fight against the national education.
In a classroom, students sit in a square. Derek.
Sit down. Let's start the meeting. Forget about pouring water.
Joshua.
Everyone has to be more serious. President, why would we be serious? If you are serious about your position, then lead the meeting. How is everyone? My name is Joshua Wong, and I'm the founder of this group. I'm the one most newspapers have written about. I'm Derek Lam. I'm studying at United Christian College. I'm repeating my senior year. What's your job in Scholarism? Making jokes. He's responsible for announcing through the loudspeaker. According to the procedure, everyone should introduce themselves. I'm Agnes Chow.
Agnes Chow, Scholarism.
The first time I met Joshua was in a meeting in Scholarism, and that was the start of my life of being an activist. When I first met Joshua, I just think, well, why is he the leader of Scholarism? I don't really understand that. He was still really young, like 15 years old, and he was still a boy. But now I understand why he's the leader of Scholarism.
Joshua enters a train.
He encouraged lots of normal, ordinary Hong Kong people to care about Hong Kong.
At a radio station, a DJ.
Tonight our guest is Joshua Wong. He's everywhere these days. If you don't know him, you will after this show.
Male guest.
Scholarism must take all of your time. It's true. I feel like I'm working on Scholarism full-time lately. I always forget that you're still a student. How do you balance your time? When I'm not on Facebook dealing with Scholarism, I'm studying. My grades are not too bad. It's impossible that your grades aren't bad. Are you in a relationship? No, because I focus on my work. My mom keeps telling me not to date until college. I should focus on studying now. Everyone values youth, but there's a difference between how China and Hong Kong value youth. Youth in China do everything their country tells them to do. They are one with the country. But you're different. You encourage people to go on the street, to protest, to be radical, to object to national education. Our situation makes it necessary. If the government didn't push for national education, I wouldn't ask people to join us, and there wouldn't be these interviews.
People walk the crowded Hong Kong streets. Alone, Joshua carries the megaphone. He hands out flyers. Joshua.
Allowing the Communist Party to create our curriculum is a huge problem.
The attitude of the police forces is quite negative towards the activists. The policemen will come and ask a lot of questions.
Policemen.
Which organization are you from? We are an organization called Scholarism. You aren't going to have a rally here? No, we definitely won't.
Of course, our regime and government tried to scare us from not joining social movement, but I think as an activist, one of the things which is very important for us is not to be scared.
You don't have to surround us with so many officers. We are here every day. We'll leave if nothing's happening. It's cool. Continue.
It's really ridiculous for the policemen come and to tell the activists that we want to protect you. That's why we keep an eye on you. Because what they want to do is just to protect the ruling class instead of the grassroots in Hong Kong.
The students hang one banner and unfurl a hand-painted banner which depicts young people. Professor Michael Davis, Constitutional Law, University of Hong Kong.
The Chinese government has been very, very good at suppressing a protest.
On TV.
At this hour, there are hundreds of thousands of people here in Tiananmen Square, perhaps as many as 500,000, even more. In the history of communist China, there has never been anything like this.
Tiananmen, of course, was something that took place on the mainland of China. It was centered in Beijing, and it was a protest demanding reforms. There was a crackdown, and tanks rolled into Beijing.
ABCNews.com.
Soldiers fired automatic weapons into crowds of civilians, and the casualties were staggering. The Chinese Red Cross says at least 2,600 people were killed. The students claim thousands of others were wounded.
There's a very strong sense in Hong Kong that what happened in Beijing in June 1989 could happen in Hong Kong, and people in Hong Kong do not want that being repeated at any stage.
News magazine covers, Time, Massacre in Beijing, Newsweek, Bloodbath. In Joshua's room, he loads a backpack and leaves the apartment. Outside, a sign, Central Government Offices, Demonstrators.
Defend freedom of thought. Withdraw national education. Withdraw national education.
Words appear. 4 days before the start of national education, Scholarism occupies the square outside government headquarters. They intend to stay until the government withdraws national education. Day one, the protesters set up a table and pop up tents. They unfurl a large banner. Joshua addresses the press.
Today, we've successfully occupied government headquarters. We have over 100 Scholarism members, citizens, and volunteers gathered here. What we're fighting for is plain and simple. We hope that the next generation will have freedom. Do you worry about the police using force? The police do not need to use force. Scholarism insists on being peaceful, rational, and nonviolent. So we hope the police can also be peaceful, rational, and nonviolent.
We are occupying a public area outside of the government headquarters, and we named that place Civic Square. I feel really excited, but I also feel a bit nervous because the people's expectation of me and Scholarism.
Day two, Cars and double-decker buses travel Hong Kong's streets. The Hong Kong flag with its five-petaled white flower on red flies next to the flag of the People's Republic of China.
Around 6:30 in the morning, someone woke me up and told me that Siwa Leung come to the square. It's the second time for me to have the discussion with the chief executive.
These students are not camping out for fun. Why are you neglecting the public's opinion? This is a three-year initiation period. Scholarism objects to national education's initiation period. If we agree on the initiation period, it means that we agree with setting up national education. I'd like to ask if it's possible to launch the initiation period, but not launch the actual national education. These questions can be discussed in the committee. Visiting the students should not be done just a few days before starting the initiation period. We are really disappointed by that.
Unfortunately, it seems that he just hoped to do a PR show instead of really having a conversation with us. But the government cannot ignore us forever.
Small tents sit under the pop-up tents. Day 3. Several inches of rain collect in an upside-down umbrella.
During the first days, I was quite depressed. Only few people come to support us.
Agnes.
It was quite uncomfortable because we can't have shower, we can't wash our clothes. It was not a game. It's real.
Joshua addresses the press.
Water seeps into the tents, but the students won't give up. We don't want the next generation in Hong Kong to have to study national education. Joshua, school starts in a few days. What is your plan? If CY Leung doesn't withdraw national education before September 3rd, even though we have to go back to school, we will carry on and continue to fight.
Joshua Wong did not do it as a particular political campaign against anything. He was doing it because it was the right thing to do. There was a sense of innocence that actually make people identify with it. That innocence also make the parents' generation somewhat ashamed that they had to leave these young kids to be fighting out there for this.
A girl fans herself in one of the tents. Nighttime. The square contains more people. Day 4. First day of national education. Two boys lie on newspapers.
When I wake up, there's only 10 or 20 people inside the square. It seems to be no hope, but a miracle happened.
Joshua Wong, keep it up. Scholarism, keep it up.
More and more people come to the square.
Joshua wears his school shirt.
In the past few days, there were not many protesters. But today we've successfully filled government headquarters. We have over 4,000 people here. They're even blocking the roads. The movement is for all people, with no fear. Occupy the government headquarters. Escalate the movement. All people occupying government headquarters. Immediately withdraw the curriculum. I hope people can shout this last slogan as loudly as possible. CY Leung, withdraw the curriculum. CY Leung, withdraw the curriculum. Thank you, Joshua Wong.
CY Leung.
We are willing to speak with our friends who oppose national education. But the premise of our conversation can't be just withdraw or not withdraw.
At that moment, I really disappointed with that.
We felt very angry because we thought that the government officials were not responding to our demand.
A group of cameras are aimed at the square. Day 9. A girl combs her hair. Joshua puts on a sock. Joshua addresses the press.
Tonight is our black clothes rally. Come to the government headquarters and join our protest. We can put pressure on the government through the power of numbers. We have faith that we'll have more people tonight than we've ever had before.
Nighttime, the square is full. Joshua wears a black t-shirt.
We've occupied government headquarters for 9 days. Tonight, we've completely filled the plaza. We've completely filled a four-lane road. We've filled the pedestrian bridges. We've filled the park. I believe a miracle is about to happen. The turning point is here. We are making history. Withdraw national education! Withdraw national education! Our preliminary numbers show we have 120,000 people here. 120,000! 120,000! 120,000!
We were really surprised of the number of people joining the protest.
Derek.
It's just explode our mind, and I just think, wow, this is fucking amazing.
This caught the government completely by surprise. They did not know something like that could happen, and they did not know how to respond.
Mr. Lowe, would you mind just giving a brief English statement on this policy shift? Thank you.
Well, essentially, the amendment of this policy means that we're giving the authority to the schools.
Words appear. On September 8, 2012, C.Y. Leung announces that national education will not be mandatory in Hong Kong.
We did it. A group of high school students stand in the front line and force the communist regime to step backward. We are part of the Hong Kong history.
The students wave flyers. In Joshua's apartment, a table is covered with newspaper articles, many with his picture. Joshua's parents, Grace.
If you had asked me a year ago, I wouldn't have believed it. We are a low-profile family. We don't want to be famous. Joshua is not trying to be famous. We all said, this is a miracle. So amazing. How could this really happen? They say it's the first social movement to achieve its goal since the handover in 1997. And it was the only one initiated by high school students. She thumbs through a scrapbook.
The lesson that we learned in the anti-national education movement is student can also make change in the society.
The message that got into Hong Kong wasn't, oh, phew, we got our educational standards back. The message was, by turning out, they could actually cause Beijing to back down. And that lesson is the precursor to people imagining that something like a fight for democracy might work.
Finally, we showed the power of social movement and showed the power of people to our regime. I feel a bit happy, but still a bit afraid because we just won one battle, but not whole war.
Fade to black.
Okay, let's talk about China President Xi Jinping.
Is that going to get me kidnapped?
Words appear. In March 2013, Xi Jinping becomes the next president of China. BBC News.
Xi Jinping. It's a name you're going to hear a lot of. Now, officially, the second most powerful leader in the world.
Xi Jinping is the head of the Chinese Communist Party, and he's also the president of the People's Republic of China. We should just call him chairman of everything.
China has been increasingly aggressive toward Hong Kong, and the aggression has accelerated since Xi Jinping came to power.
What's happening under Xi Jinping is a sort of one country, two systems, one country, 1.9 systems, one country, 1.8 systems. So it's this slow squeezing of Hong Kong into Chinese norms. That sort of sets the stage for the really big fight, which is around universal suffrage and the ability of Hong Kong citizens to vote on the leader of Hong Kong, which they were promised after the handover.
The Hong Kong people will have the vote, and we'll decide who is going to lead us and take an active part in standing up for all the people of Hong Kong. Otherwise, Hong Kong will go down the drain very quickly indeed, and Hong Kong will soon become just another Chinese city.
President Xi should let Hong Kong achieve universal suffrage. We have waited for this promise for more than 18 years already.
Words appear. In early 2013, a law professor named Benny Tai writes an influential op-ed demanding universal suffrage in Hong Kong. Benny.
What is our hope? Our hope is that from today onwards, Hong Kong is entering a new era.
Benny Tai is in the Faculty of Law at the University of Hong Kong. He got this idea that, well, if China's not going to, you know, deliver real democracy, then we should protest this.
Benny Tai.
We need to
co-organizer
assemble
Occupy
much stronger
central
force in Hong Kong in order to strive for democracy, in order to put pressure on the Chinese authorities.
What Benny Tai proposes is to get a large group of Hong Kongers who cared about this issue to turn out and to shut down Central District. Central is so tied to commerce, to banking. It's a highly visible space. If you occupy that, you are really making a public statement.
I was really surprised. It is very rare for a university professor to advocate civil disobedience or like radical social movement like Occupy.
We have the whole city nervous, you know that, right?
CNBC.
You know, business owners, CEOs, yeah. You know, all sorts types of businesses
but,
will be affected.
But actually, a very simple answer to that is that you need not be nervous about that. If you do not want to have Occupy Central to happen, just give us true universal suffrage.
The movement had already attracted a lot of public support, and we have generated sufficient tension in the society.
Cut to black. Words appear. Over the next few months, non-binding referendum votes are held to gauge public support and establish a plan to present to Beijing.
We print out leaflets, posters, internet promotions, and it was like a real election.
I kind of speculate that that might be 300,000 people voting. And that might be the best figure we could get. But the things came out totally unexpected. We got 800,000 people voting.
We knew the public was behind us.
Now would be a good time for us to have a negotiation with China. This may be the best chance for Hong Kong people to get democracy.
I think the organizers of the Occupy movement had intended it as a bluff. And authorities in China call that bluff.
CNN.
On Sunday, China's parliament voted to change the way Hong Kong selects its leader, known as the chief executive.
CCTV.
Chinese officials announced Sunday that the central government in Beijing will screen candidates running for what was meant to be a democratically elected position.
Al Jazeera.
You can vote, but we will choose who you vote for. That appears to be the message from China's leaders, who have insisted they have the right to choose candidates for Hong Kong's leadership.
What Beijing decided was you can choose your leader among a list of people that we select. It removes the ability of the citizens of Hong Kong to have a voice.
Wall Street Journal headline.
So China has spoken. It now hopes that Hong Kong will listen.
August 31, 2014. Benny.
The decision of the Chinese government today is so undemocratic and unjust. Unjust. We will fight to change this unjust system. We're even willing to sacrifice ourselves for it.
Joshua.
It has become clear that the time to compromise is gone. It is time for total war.
People bang on pots and lids. Cut to black. Words appear. Occupy Central is set to commence on October 1st, 2014. To build support, Joshua helps organize a student strike. In a large hall, Joshua.
Our parents say that joining this student strike will ruin our future. But what sort of future will we have under the current political system? Students need to show the adults that they don't make all the rules.
Outside, police watch the passing students. Al Jazeera.
Thousands of students from more than 20 universities and colleges have abandoned classes this week. Many seem prepared to sacrifice their studies in the battle to secure the right to choose their own leader.
Nathan Law, student activist.
During that 4 days, we have assemblies every night to make the Occupy Central more powerful, to like heat it up. Momentum is building up until 26th of September.
September 26, 2014.
There was really a lot of people that day.
We felt like it was not possible to just end the assembly because we could feel the passion of the crowd.
We were thinking about, well, there are lots of people now. Should we do something?
Before the end of the night assembly, we had a secret meeting talking about what's the possible plan.
Derek.
We think, shall we occupy the civil square again?
The retake of the civil square was the most symbolic thing that we could do.
Police stand at a barricade. Inside.
Greetings, my fellow citizens. I am Joshua Wong, founder of Scholarism. A crowd of 1,500 is more than I expected here today.
And 9:30, Joshua make his speech and we are getting ready for Joshua leaders to reoccupy Civil Square.
No matter what the price, we can't dump this on the next generation. This generation must complete our mission. Now let's go take Civic Square together.
There's a moment that you thought, wow, we are gonna make some massive change and we are gonna make history.
Joshua just ran off and jumped off from the fence.
He drops to the other side. Scores of policemen walk downstairs.
And suddenly, there's a group of cops. and then they just surround Joshua.
Several policemen carry a resisting Joshua away. Police close the gates. Joshua, Derek, and Nathan are among those arrested during the retaking of Civic Square. Cut to black. A police van enters open gates.
When I was arrested, I met Joshua in the police station. I remember that he didn't have his glasses, and he even didn't have his shoes. And there's some scratches in his face, and he's tired and he's scared.
I feel really powerless because nothing I can do. I'm still in the police station, and I just hope every member of Scorism are safe.
The scariest thing is that you don't know what's happening outside. You don't have information.
Free Joshua Wong!
Police detain Derek and Nathan for 4 hours. Joshua is held for 46 hours before being released.
I'm going to make a very important announcement. It's a long-awaited one. I announce that Occupy Central is officially launched. Occupy Central is officially launched.
The situation evolved very fast, and I decided that we have to start the Occupy action earlier than planned.
Joshua Wong and his generation took over Occupy Central and changed it into something different. And if you want to use the word hijack, I think it's not unreasonable.
We are not trying to hijack the Occupy action. We're just trying to mobilize people join the civil disobedience. The problem is Benny Tai planned the Occupy action to be a formal organized activity, just like holding a concert or a ceremony. But the participant of social movement is quite organic. You can't force them to directly follow your rule, regulations. Social movement is social movement.
Overnight, people started occupying the highway.
People climb over a barricade and crowd a highway. Traffic in the distance is at a standstill.
And then police in tactical gear start showing up.
A policeman dons gloves. They wear helmets with gas masks. They have banners. Police cordon, do not cross.
People thought, whoa, game has changed, right? This is completely different.
Clouds of gas drift.
Boom, boom. The people scream. It's just like the image of hell.
Everyone was choking. Try to hide. Nowhere to go.
I just want to cry at that time because I feel really desperate that I don't know what to do.
One student pours bottled water in the eye of another. Men wearing masks carry a protester on a stretcher. BBC.
They call their movement Occupy Central with Love and Peace.
CNN.
On Sunday, the largely peaceful protests took a turn.
RT.
Downtown Hong Kong has largely become a war zone.
The policemen always claim that they hope to protect the activists. But if they want to protect us, why they will hurt us? It's not Hong Kong anymore.
More canisters are thrown.
You've heard rumors like they will cut off internet and rumors saying that the army is coming. And as organizers, you have a huge responsibility to the safety of the people.
Are we really ready to sacrifice?
I feel there's a lot of pressure after they use tear gas because I'm the convener of Scorism. I should be responsible. But this responsibility is too hard for me to bear.
TV News.
The Hong Kong SAR government is resolute in opposing the unlawful occupation actions by Occupy Central. The police shall continue to handle the situation in accordance with the law.
Beijing doesn't tell CY Leung you can use tear gas but not rubber bullets or vice versa. Beijing will only ask, can you handle this? Right? Can you put a lid on it? But it really didn't work like that.
CNN.
24 hours ago, we saw tear gas and pepper spray being used on the citizens of Hong Kong, mainly students. And it looks very much like that strategy by the Hong Kong police has backfired.
The idea is to scare the crowd with the tear gas, but more and more people started to come out. It was beautiful.
People fill a wide highway, an overpass, and pedestrian bridges. An overhead view looking down from the high-rises. Thousands of people peacefully gathered.
It was such a watershed moment in our history. There was a sense of community. I mean, I call it the village. It was a place where everybody shared things. You didn't have to spend any money in the village because there's free food everywhere. I thought it was the most beautiful part of Hong Kong.
A young man washes his face with water poured in his palm. A handwritten sign, free translation for media.
Is a picture that no one could fully express with words.
Nighttime. The crowd waves the flashlights on their phones.
So it started in Central and it spreads all over the city and other sympathetic occupations happen.
Camps sprung up all over Hong Kong. Central, Admiralty, Causeway Bay, Mong Kok.
Beijing can't pretend that this is just a small movement of malcontents. The political message is in the occupation itself.
The media began calling it umbrella movement or umbrella revolution because lots of protesters, they use umbrella to resist the pepper spray from the police officers.
Ingeniously, they've made the umbrella the symbol of the movement. So anyone can go to a 7-Eleven and say, give me two umbrellas. And you don't know if it's a political act or not until you get to Central and open them up.
Hundreds of umbrellas open. Joshua's Time magazine cover.
Students began to emerge, Joshua Wong most spectacularly, as the face of the movement, the voice of the movement, much more so than the original Occupy figures.
I think he was not the only person. I was not the only person of Occupy Central. But I understand the logic. Having a person as an icon is easier than having a group of people. his reputation can help broadcast our message.
Joshua addresses a crowd.
Being famous is just part of my job. If you need to increase your influence, if you need to let people to support your idea, the first thing you need to do is let others to recognize you.
It's a way for the international media and people living outside Hong Kong to know more about the situation in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong's leader said on Tuesday that China won't back down from its decision to limit voting reforms in the Asian financial hub, dashing hopes that the standoff between demonstrators and authorities could be resolved quickly through negotiations.
I think the government is quite naive if they believe that I will not continue to fight.
If we need to fight to achieve universal suffrage and democracy, it's necessary to join into a long-term battle towards the Communist Party of China.
Reuters.
They're preparing for the long haul, distributing supplies that will help sustain an open-ended protest in defiance of Beijing.
So the great strength of Occupy has actually not been to turn out, but to stay. This was a really profound dedication. These are people willing to sleep on concrete night after night.
Day 11.
It's hard to sleep on the road. Every day is hot and rainy. I miss my bed, and I miss the shower, and I miss my mom's cooking. But we were ready for however long it takes.
Day 19.
The Hong Kong police learned a bit of a lesson that if you act aggressively, you're just going to increase the protest. So there was this change over time where they sort of let the protesters alone. The idea being that if you
Day 31.
Stay away, eventually people will get tired of sleeping in the streets.
A woman wearing a hard hat nods off.
We believe in civil disobedience. We believe in the principle of nonviolence. We will stand firm until the last moment.
As an organizer, I was not prepared to be responsible for such a huge movement. There's no relevant experience in Hong Kong's history that we could take reference from. And we were just so tired. But Joshua, he's a robot because he could devote himself like 24/7.
For me, he's a very good person to learn from. But sometimes I do not know how to become a friend of him. He shows no emotion sometimes.
I often use the word digital to describe him. He's either on or off. And I think that's a price he has to pay to be a leader at such a young age because he gave up his childhood, basically.
Some days I have cried and I think that I can't continue or I'm really tired and I want to stop. But it's not the time to cry. Because I have commitment in this movement.
TV News.
Hong Kong shopkeepers are warning the democracy protests there are costing them dear. The local retail management association says sales at chain stores fell by up to 45% last week in the affected districts.
After 2 months, a part of citizens started to feel very impatient and they want the whole thing to stop. That kind of impatience motivated the government.
Mong Kok protest site, day 61. With a mic, a woman reads from a clipboard. Please abide by the court order and leave immediately. We have asked the police to help the bailiffs execute their duties.
I felt really upset and angry about it because after months of occupation, their response was not to repair the relationship between Hong Kong people and the government. Instead, they destroyed it once again.
Student leader Joshua Wong was at the scene. A shouting match ensued after he tried to block the bailiffs from removing the barricades.
The police saw me and pulled me out from the crowd.
A policeman springs at Joshua and with others pulls him away. Words appear. During the clearing of Mong Kok, more than 150 people, including Joshua, are arrested.
risk is getting higher and higher to be a part of the democratic movement. We just want everyone to go home safely.
For the sake of the occupiers' safety, for the sake of our original intention of love and peace, as we prepare to surrender, we free urge the students to retreat.
They want us to stop the occupation, but students do not agree on that. So we will continue. No one can stop us.
CBS.
One of the signs that this is an increasingly desperate protest movement, we've now heard that several of the student leaders, including 18-year-old Joshua Wong, have vowed to go on a hunger strike.
The street clearance is coming. And the goal of this movement seems to be blurred. I hope to wake up all Hong Kong people and people around the world. I want to reignite awareness of the umbrella movement.
Derek.
The support is slipping away, so we have to call the people back again. So Joshua do the hunger strike.
Now I was really nervous about him because he's a very skinny boy and he stopped eating for a few days.
Are you aware of how
CNN
painful and destructive for your health actually, this could be? And do your parents know about what you're doing?
My parents know it, and I know it will really harmful to my body. However, it is the only way to give the pressure to the government.
It's really tiring.
You will feel your body don't have an energy, but with the continue to show that the student will persist to fight until the last minute.
Joshua gets in a wheelchair.
While he was in wheelchair and he was very weak, I was worrying about his condition. And the doctor kept saying that he shouldn't continue the hunger strike.
Joshua is pushed past photographers.
I can't do anything to help them, but it's very, very painful for me.
Rebellion is not the way to achieve universal suffrage. As I've said before, any kind of rebellious action is futile.
Eventually, he stopped it. He lasted to the very last moment that he could afford.
Words appear. On the fifth day, doctors force Joshua to end his hunger strike. BBC headline: Hong Kong protest leader Joshua Wong ends hunger strike.
I think the lowest point is I see how people lose their hope in this movement. If we could not see any hope in the movement can't continue.
Hong Kong's Occupy protest is no more, Washington Post. Occupy is over, Hong Kong chief executive announces end to protest as Causeway Bay is cleared. South China Morning Post. Words appear, day 79, last day of Occupy Central. Heavy equipment clears debris.
When the camp were cleared, after that is when the remorse came in. The resentment, the frustration, the sense of failure. Mom and dad asking, well, you camped out for 79 days. What do you have to show for? And because of that embarrassment, people now feel sort of, well, we really did fail, or maybe we shouldn't have done it in the first place.
A lot of people are very disappointed because, like, no concrete outcomes. And sometimes you will wonder that, is that your responsibility, that you let them down, that you have made some mistakes?
It's hard for me to accept the fact that the Occupy is end.
China's president praises Hong Kong chief handling of protests, Los Angeles Times. Xi praises Leung for not giving in to protesters, the Business Times.
Instead of solving the problem, Xi Jinping just ignored the people who have raised the problem. He just think that they need to use the style of the authoritarian regime to rule Hong Kong.
He's playing very high-stakes political games. He's purging his opponents. He's actively building an empire. And Hong Kong is sort of one of the first victims of his epic power struggle.
Words appear. In January 2015, Joshua is summoned to the police station. Hundreds of people turn out in support. Derek and Agnes follow Joshua.
Are you supposed to?
I would like to thank you all for coming to support us in the early morning. Even when you may have to work. We will update you guys on Scholarism's Facebook page. In 2015, we will keep on fighting for political reform and true democracy. I'm going in now. Thank you so much.
On an escalator, Joshua gives a thumbs up, then V for victory gesture as he ascends. Cut to black. December 2015. Taxis round a curve. Joshua walks alone.
After the Occupy movement end, I'm still having a lot of meetings with different people and try to think about the next step to continue the movement. But I still know that I could not turn back to a normal life. I've been charged with inciting an unauthorized assembly, participating in an unauthorized assembly, obstructing police officer, and contempt of court. The maximum penalty is to be put into jail.
Joshua rolls up a security door.
Mentally, I already expected to face the penalty, maybe put into prison, but yeah, I'm not really ready for it, actually. Yeah. Somebody need to pay the price for the movement, and I've already expected to pay this price.
CBS This Morning.
A deepening mystery in Hong Kong sounds like the plot of a political thriller, but it's all too real. Five people have vanished since October. All of them are connected to a publishing company and a bookstore that sells books critical of communist China's leaders. Concern is growing that basic rights are being, well, taken away.
Words appear. In late 2015, five Hong Kongers disappear after publishing books critical of the communist leadership. Activists fear the Chinese government is behind their kidnapping.
The booksellers, they were kidnapped in Hong Kong and brought into China, and they just disappeared.
This causes a great public concern in Hong Kong, because how can one country, two systems survive if people using their free speech rights in Hong Kong are going to be snatched off the street?
The central government is practically running the Hong Kong government, and we'll see these harsh treatment of Hong Kong people continue and increase for the worse.
I believe that in the central government, there is a file that thick about me because we were the leaders of the movement.
It's becoming more dangerous being an activist because the price that we have to pay, it is heavier than before.
Nighttime, Joshua rides in a taxi.
We're afraid and we're scared about this kind of issue happen again. It's not really safe if you're an activist in Hong Kong.
My parents pretend that they are not scared, but I think they're worried than me, of course.
I can't ensure I will not be disappeared in the future, but what I can do is to fight and to reduce the chance for myself and my peers to be disappeared.
He rubs his eyes. At a press conference, Joshua.
This one. You can sit here.
Agnes sits next to Joshua facing a bank of mics. Derek sits to one side. Several rows of students sit behind them.
Testing. 1, 2. Hi, everyone.
We'll begin the press conference now.
Today's press conference is about the end of scholarism.
Hi, everyone. I'm Derek from Scholarism. This is the last time for me to introduce myself in this way. I hope when the name of scholarism is heard in the future, people will recall some beautiful moments. We were a bunch of kids fighting hard in the streets.
Agnes,
I understand that this news is hard to believe. To be honest, we've been discussing the end of scholarism for a long time.
This is a difficult decision, but for us, we cannot let sentimentality decide the future of scholarism. Instead, we need to think rationally about what political action is needed for the future of Hong Kong. Last summer, we began discussing the future of scholarism. We discussed how a political party and a student group could develop.
We are planning to launch a new political party and planning to run in an election to get a seat in the Legislative Council and to let the voice of the new generation to enter the institution.
Words appear. In April 2016, Joshua, Nathan, Agnes, and Derek form Demostisto to run for Legislative Council, one of the few democratically elected positions in Hong Kong, in a classroom.
We started a new political party because we see that the framework of one country, two systems is not working. A lot of Hong Kong people's way of life is being destroyed by the intervention of the Chinese government.
The umbrella movement proved that if you only work on the street, it's not enough. Because when you occupy the role, the government will not give a shit about you. If we really want to do the real protest, we have to stop the government. And the way we can stop government is to get into the Legislative Council.
We have a very clear political aim of fighting for Hong Kong because we believe that Hong Kong people should have the right to decide our own future.
I believe we can win a seat in the election.
Joshua writes on a whiteboard. Boxes of pizza arrive. Derek.
Cheers to our wasted youth.
Scholarism farewell party. Some members play a video game.
Each of us should say some sincere words to Joshua. Why don't we play another game? Shut up. What should I say to Joshua? You're a really shitty video game player. How can you be so bad at it? You rarely beat me.
I met Joshua when I joined in 2012.
At the time I thought, why is this guy so arrogant? Then I found that Joshua is a good guy to work with. He's a trustworthy guy. He won't betray you. I know this in my heart.
I'm really glad that I was a member of scholarism before, because if I did not enter scholarism 4 years ago, I'll not be the person that I am now.
In scholarism, I have a lot of good memory and I have a lot of good experience. I guess it's time to start something new, and we can't keep saying that I'm a student and I am so pure. Now I have to face the real politics. It is a little bit sad, but it's just like growing to be an adult.
Derek and other guys wave. Daytime, on the street, Derek, Agnes, and Joshua wear green t-shirts. They hand out flyers. The police patrol. Many people in the street carry umbrellas. Supporters collect donations.
I believe that the government are really scared of the new generation because we are the ones who could really pressure the Chinese government. The Chinese government is scared of us because we never give up and we have unlimited energy to fight against it.
We have the responsibility to protect Hong Kong, our hometown.
It's Hong Kong, and yeah, we have to try to save it.
They can't stop all of us.
Joshua is very passionate, and that to me is the most important thing, is that he truly cares about Hong Kong and is willing to give everything he has for it. I'm very grateful that Hong Kong has someone like him.
I would call Joshua a phenomenon. I remember in the beginning of the umbrella movement, when there were confrontations with the police, Joshua had the mic and he said, I'm fighting for democracy for my generation and my next generation. And this guy was in only 17.
The sense of scale could not be larger between a lone individual and China. And he's shown people that clarity of message and consistency of purpose and really just an indefatigable sense, I am not going to give up, can actually change how history is unfolding.
I believe in freedom for Hong Kong. I believe in freedom for everyone. I will never stop until Hong Kong is Hong Kong again.
Cut to black. Words appear. Joshua was found guilty of unlawful assembly. He will not serve jail time. The Chinese government has blocked Joshua Wong as a search term on social media in mainland China. Joshua plans to enter the 2020 election when he is old enough to run. Cut to black. Split screen. Agnes and Derek. Words appear. Agnes and Derek continue to campaign for Demostisto. Cut to black. In September 2016, Nathan ran for legislative council. He won. Since the election, the government has tried to disqualify Nathan from serving, but he and Demostisto continue to fight. Nathan hugs Joshua and Agnes. Cut to black. Credits scroll. Copyright 2017, Pandemonium Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. In animation, a road curves toward the beach. A girl bikes up the road. A small dog follows. June Pictures. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.